Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, everybody. We are going to jump right in. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Like I said, good morning. I'm so thankful to be here with you guys this morning and share this word that I feel like the Lord has given for all of us. It's a bit of a challenging one for me too, so we are just going to dive into that. But first, let's pray. Let's set my heart right. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for just the ability to have a place that we can come and worship together in community. And Lord, I thank you that you have a place for each one of us too in our quiet times just to come before you and worship and pray in your presence. Lord, we give you this time this morning. I pray that you would lead us and guide us, that you would help us to hear the word that you want spoken to each heart this morning. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I love this psalm. Love it. It even starts with shout for joy to the Lord. Doesn't that just like brings high energy? I mean, and when I started preparing for this sermon, as I was reading through it, I'm like, oh, this is really uplifting and good, and it is. But the Lord actually revealed some more things to me. And as we get into this, I'll hopefully be able to share a little bit of that. He revealed more of himself to me. So verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. So I looked up the word worship here. Oh, I'm behind. And it's actually translated from the Hebrew word avad, which means servant, to work for, to serve, to do labor for someone, to be a servant, to worship. Isn't that good? It kind of changes the dynamic of that verse. A servant is generally someone who acts at the bidding of a superior. So let's reword verse 2 real quick. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Then verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. Know that the Lord is God. He made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Know him. How do we really get to know God? How do we get to know him? Well, really, honestly, I ask this question. How do we really get to know anyone? My husband and I have been married for 33 years. I know, right? He's put up with me that long. You could say that we've spent a lot of time together. That might be an understatement. But this one story came to me about getting to know him better. And we have family down in New Mexico, and we make trips down there at least twice a year. It's an 8-hour drive. We could probably put the car into automatic pilot, and it would probably take us right there. One of our earlier trips, as we were driving, a little backstory. I came from a family where my dad did all the driving, and my mom just sat in the passenger seat, and I felt so bad for him. I'm like, why won't she help him? So, here we go. So we were driving, and being the dutiful wife that I thought I should be, I offered to help him drive. Oh, Rob, honey, let me, help. I'll even drive us through the mountains. I hate driving through the mountains, but I'll do it as long as I don't have to drive through the big city. And on one of our trips, as we were in conversation, just being present with each other, we came to the understanding that he loves to drive. He loves it. I do not love to drive. That's not my favorite thing. So now we have our trips. He's the driver, and I'm the trip coordinator. And that works for both of us. But honestly, if I had not had that communication with him back in the day, I'd still be struggling through the whole drive through the mountains thing. So that's just one quick story that I thought I'd share about how we can really communicate and get to know each other. Again, I ask, how do we get to know someone? I can give you a couple of ways that we probably can't get to know someone. Social media. Do we really get to know people through social media? No. We can see their highlights, and I love to see those. We get to see pictures of family. I love to see those. But we don't get to really know them. Texting. Have you ever tried to... I try to send emojis so that way I can kind of, people will understand my text messages because they come off really dry and hard to understand. We really can't do that either. It's being with them, being present, listening, really listening, not as a self-serving kind of listening, but listening to really hear their hearts. That's where we get to know people. And that's how we get to know God too. It's being with him. It's being present with him. It's listening, really listening to him. We can do this one-on-one. We can do this in community. I can't tell you how many times where I feel like I've gotten a word from the Lord and it's been confirmed in community. But I've also had those times where they're like, maybe not Lori, maybe not that one. One way that he does speak to us clearly is through his word. If we have ears to hear. I loved it last week when Pastor Andrew said, can you guys think of the first time that the Bible came to life for you? I knew exactly what moment that was for me. So I thought I'd share that story with you. I had started just attending Grace. It was Grace Church back then, so our congregation. And we were at the old warehouse. And they did a women's gathering. And I thought, I'll go to a women's gathering. We'll see what happens. I wasn't really following the Lord at the time. But I walked in and I remember, I brought my Bible, because that's what you're supposed to do. And they handed me a little slip of paper. And the little slip of paper had a scripture on it. And it said Isaiah 41:10. It has since become my life verse. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So good. Now, before, if I had read that scripture, I would have just read it and it would have been fine. But this time, it was like the Lord was speaking right to my heart. Because I was a person filled with fear. I was afraid of everything. And so that popped out to me. Do not fear, for I am with you. You are with me. And I remember, I honestly don't remember anything else about that women's event. But I do remember that, and I do remember that that spoke clearly to me. And it was a game changer in my life. I realized that the God of the universe could speak to my heart through his written word. For someone, I'm sorry, God revealing himself was also a game changer to one Samaritan woman that we can read about in the book of John, chapter 4. So for those of you that don't know the story of the Samaritan woman, I'm just going to give you a real quick backstory. I thought about reading the entire chapter, and then I thought, well, no, that's probably not such a great idea. So the Samaritan woman, the story of her, Jesus was traveling through Samaria. He was tired. It was around noon. He sat down at a well. There was a woman there that was gathering some water, and he asked her for a drink. And in those times, Jewish men did not speak to Samaritans, let alone a Samaritan woman. And so she questioned, why are you asking me? And he said, I love this, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. If you knew who I am, right? You would have asked and I would have given you so much more than this water that you can get from this well. Isn't that true about Jesus when he meets us? I could give you something more than you could ever hope, dream, or imagine. Notice, so that was verse 10. He said this to her before he let her know that he knew her. You had some husbands, and the one you're living with right now isn't your husband. But he did it in such a loving way that she was not afraid of him. She didn't run from him. And then in verse 26, he revealed who he was. I am the Messiah. Isn't that beautiful how that flowed? He came and he offered a living water. He let her know, I know you. He knows us. He knows our deep, dark secrets. He knows everything about us. And here I am. I'm the Messiah and I can help. So let's take a look at this psalm that we have so far. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Know the Lord. And then continuing, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Enter his presence. This is not necessarily about a place. This is about his presence. And there is a difference. In our story about the Samaritan woman, the Samaritan woman asked Jesus about worshiping on the mountain in Jerusalem. And Jesus responded, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Side note, please read John chapter 4 because it is really good all the way through, okay? But with us, we're just going to focus on here. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. I was reading through in my study Bible. I have a new Bible, and it's giving me all kinds of little helpful hints. And I read in the bottom, and I just want to read this to you guys because I think it really articulates this better than I probably can. And this is about this scripture that I just read. What matters is not where one worships, but the attitude of the heart and the mind. True worship is not mere form and ceremony, but spiritual reality, which is in harmony with the nature of God, who is spirit. Worship must also be truth, that is, in transparency, with a sincere heart. Isn't that good? When we come before God, we can enter his presence with thanksgiving and praise. We come with a sincere heart, and boy, he transforms us. Pastor Jack Hayford, I read a lot of his stuff and watch a lot of his videos, and I loved what he said about this scripture. Our ability to praise, serve, or enjoy God's presence flows out of the understanding of who God is and who we are in relationship to him. We get to know him, and as we get to know him, as he's revealing more of himself to us, brings up more joy, more peace. We just can't help but contain it. We can't contain it. We have to go tell someone. And I'm going to bring up this little side note because as I was thinking about gates and courts, I remembered a scripture in John chapter 10 where Jesus, it's the chapter about Jesus being the good shepherd, that Jesus is the gate. He is the way. He reveals himself as the gate. He is the gate for his sheep in verse 7. Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters me will be saved. That's verse 9. So good. Do you see how that works? We enter his gates with thanksgiving, so thankful for what Jesus did. He came and he died for our sins so that we could have everlasting life, so that we could enter into his presence. Because when he died, little bit of Hebrew history here, the veil tore from the holy place to the most holy place, from the top to the bottom, and that allows us direct entrance into the presence of the Almighty God. Just think about that for just a minute. We have direct access. We can come boldly before the throne of grace and receive healing. Isn't that so good? Because of who God is, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we can enter his presence. As a Foursquare church, we believe that Jesus is our Savior. This is just knowing him. Jesus is our Savior. He's our healer. He's our baptizer with the Holy Spirit. And he's our soon and coming King. The courts. We can enter the court of the King, King Jesus, because of what he did for us. So good. It's not about us. This is the other part that really stood out to me. This whole thing is not about us. It's about him. It's about bringing glory to his name. We serve, we worship, we love because he first loved us. And it's just an outflow of an inward thing that he's doing in our hearts. So let's get back to the end of the psalm, verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I want to go back to the story of the Samaritan woman really quick, because I think it's something at the end of this is really good. When Jesus revealed that he was the Messiah, what did she do? She ran into town. Come, see a man who told me everything I have ever done. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. So good. It couldn't be contained. She had to tell. The story continues, and I'll just read this to you guys. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Do you see it? He is faithful. And he can, and his faithfulness continues through generations. As we have an interaction into the presence of God, we can't help but contain it. We go tell other people. And what did we encourage them to do? Go spend time in the presence of God. See, she went and she told everybody, and they believed her. People will believe our testimonies. But then they invited Jesus to stay. And he stayed 2 days. Can you imagine staying 2 days with Jesus? Like, how cool would that be? Well, it must have been life-changing because they all believed. And they didn't believe just because of her testimony. That's what got them in. They believed because of what Jesus did in their own lives during those 2 days. Isn't that powerful? He continues through generations. He is faithful to continue through generations. As we tell people, people will tell other people, and that's how his church gets built. It's loving one another. It's sharing our testimonies. It's explaining what Jesus did for us. So powerful. And as if I could have the worship team come up. So I have a little bit of a challenge. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go be that one. Can you be that one? Can you be the one to go to your family and share what Jesus did? Can you go be that one to your place where you work and share what Jesus did? Can you go and be that one so that others can come to know him? As the worship team plays, I have asked them just to play real quietly in the back, in the background for just a few minutes. What I would like us to do is just thank Jesus, praise him, come into his presence, because we can do this together here, right now. Just in the quiet, small of our own voices. We don't have to yell out loud or whatever, whatever you feel most comfortable with. But really thank him and praise him. And he'll usher you into his presence. And then when that's done, I would like us to sing the final song that they have for us as just a way to worship and praise God some more. And then I'm going to come back up and close. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Thank you, Lord. So as we leave, I want to read the psalm one more time to you guys, maybe with a different perspective on it now. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love does endure forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. If you're here today and this is good news for you, you haven't necessarily heard about Jesus, I would love to meet with you after the service. We have a Bible and a little study aid to help you get started learning more about him and helping him to reveal more of himself to you. I'd just love to be able to chat with you after the service. For the rest of us, let's go. Let's go be that one. As I know, we all have a story. We all have a testimony of what God's done in our lives. Let's go be that one into our community. Let me pray for us as we go. Father God, I just thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that as we go out into our communities, that you would help us, Lord, that you would pave the way, that you would go before us, that we could tell others about Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities that you're going to present. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember that when things get a little tough or a little wild, as life can sometimes get, that we can enter into your presence at any moment. We enter it by thanking you and giving praise to your name. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week, you guys.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.